Okay, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some work that we're doing with cotton in variable soils in our part of the state. Cotton's kind of taken a nosedive in our region. Just to kind of give you an idea of where we are, just like up here, we're off the Mississippi River, just a little bit farther south. We're in the very northeast extreme part of the state. We're bordered by the state of Missouri and the Mississippi River. Cotton is a pretty big crop where we are, but probably more common is this variability that we see in soils. This is a pretty common, if you flew over our county, this would be a very common view that you would get. These soils will range anywhere from a heavy clay to a very coarse sand, and there's everything in between. So how we manage those becomes kind of challenging for us. It's pretty easy to see that in these very lush areas, that's where we make all of our yield and our profit. But there's significant areas in every field in our county that produce almost nothing. Problem is, inputs in those low productive areas have been the same, and in some cases higher than where we have the more productive areas. So I'll give you a little bit of a maybe perception of precision agriculture in our area. I also work for the Extension Service in that county, so I visit with farmers daily, and I'll say that in our county, in our state, we're pretty well split. We have precision agriculture divided into what I call opposing philosophies. One is, can we do anything to increase yield in those low productive areas? And the other is, can I improve efficiency by lowering cost in those low production areas? I think it's a fair question. And again, those low productive areas historically in our part of the state have been the coarse sand, which we call sand blows, clay soil. I looked at this and I thought, well, this kind of maybe explains a little bit of the problem we're having in our county, which way to go. Over the last 100 years, there's been a shift away from extension being the information provider to industry. So that's helping drive our farmers' philosophy of higher inputs in low production areas. So we face a challenge in our state how to address this, and are the low production areas worth the investment of extra inputs? And as has been mentioned a couple of talks before, it's sometimes hard to get farmers to change what they've done for many years. So we identified a grower that had some things we were looking for in a data set. He has multiple years of yield data, and we had fields that represented all the different soil types that we'd talked about earlier. And his question, continually, he questions us at the extension office and at the experiment station, what I do? Do I increase yields in these low input areas by more inputs, or do I, to quote him, cut my losses? Do I scale back inputs there where I don't typically make any yield at all? So this is part of a larger precision agriculture project that we're doing, that we're trying to use different methods to delineate zones that we can classify into different management types. We have soil texture that we get from Veris. We have historical yield maps, and we're starting to try to look at, I think, it would be a better way to relay this message to farmers if we could convert things to profit loss maps. So our objectives in this part of this study were to evaluate the effects of different seeding rates on cotton yield and maturity. And part of that is because in cotton, seeding, the seed costs are one of the higher inputs that they have. So the thought is, if we could show them that by identify these different zones and let's adjust inputs by altering seeding rates, maybe that would give us a foothold into try to change some of their other inputs. So we looked at different seeding rates on the three different broad categories of soil types that we had on fields in this farm. We classified those as sandy loam, coarse sand, and clay. These were large-scale production fields in which we had multiple, over decades, of site-specific data. Multiple years of soil texture, yield maps, and grid soil samples. Now, this one field that we've done most of the work in, if you look at over time, these positions of low yield have kind of stayed the same. Now, some of this is, we have yield data that backs up prior to variable rate applications of fertilizer. We have yield data that would be after the farmer introduced variable rate applications. So over the years, what we've seen is the variable rate, different fertilizer, with the philosophy of increased inputs to raise these low production areas to at least the field average, haven't really changed the areas that are low productive areas in the field. So prior to, not much after stand establishment, I went out and marked just by visual reference what I saw as clay areas in the field. That's highlighted by that green line. And I wanted to compare that to how accurate it was with our Varis data, which simulates soil texture. The overlay, I thought that Varis identified these areas pretty well. Well, that area would be fairly heavy clay, which is unusual in our area. Most of these low production areas are predominantly coarse sand. So in this field, then, we established several data collection points based on those soil classifications. We separated into clay areas. Each of those points, we collect plant mapping, stand counts, and hand harvest yield data. We also included, based on Varis visual representation, these areas that we considered more the loamy sand. And then we had areas that were coarse sand. So we used the producer's equipment and set the planter to plant a specific seeding rate through the field. We used a variety that was common in that area. The plots then were 12 rows wide all the way through the field. And we had target seeding rates of 1.5 seed per foot, 3 seed per foot, and 4.5 seed per foot. Now, our typical recommendation for a general extension recommendation would be 3 seed per foot. And all of these were replicated 6 times. We took weekly stand counts so that we could get percentage of emergence. And we wanted to see at the end how close we were to the target. We collected maturity, see if the different seeding rates or the soil classifications affected maturity. In cotton, a lot of the expense, in addition to seed costs, are end-of-season management. End-of-season insect control, defoliation timing. And then at the end of the season, we harvested a 10-foot section within each of these seeding rates and soil types. We also, these black lines represent the 12-row plots all the way through the field. And I wanted to compare that to the yield we would have gotten off of the yield monitor to our hand harvest data. So I just wanted to show you how they were laid through the field. So that top bar, where's that? Oops, it broke a corner. These would be 12 rows all the way through the field at a particular seeding rate. Then these points represent the different soil types. From an aerial view, this would be a plot that was targeted at about a seed and a half per foot. This would be 4.5 seeds per foot. I don't have the data from this year, but last year, and we'll do the same thing. We looked at what percent of our target seeding rate did we end up with at the end of the season, and typically, we stayed somewhere around 80% of our target. Our final plant population was 80% of what our target was. So we look at yield results. If you look at the yield map from this year compared to the 4 years I showed you earlier, that same low yield zone is still there. It's been there for as far back as we have yield monitor data, which is over a decade. The only thing that we could get that was a significant effect was the soil texture, or the EC data. So, population did not affect our final yield in any of the tests that we did. 1.5 seed per foot yielded statistically the same as 4.5 seed, and all of those were the same as what our extension recommendations would be for general production recommendation. When you break it out by soil type, though, the two areas that we see typically low yield, and what I would like to start to think about is low profitability, are the coarse sand and the clay. I compared that to the whole plots. I've fished out the yield monitor data by those plots, and the yield monitor data corresponded with our hand harvest data, and that seeding rate did not have an effect on yield. So why is seeding rate important to us? And with the cost of technology fees in cotton, one seed per foot translates to over $30 an acre. So if we could at least, in these areas of a field that are low historical yield, if we could scale back by one or two seed per foot, we're talking $50, $60 an acre production savings. We've had similar results from this for the last 2, 3, 4 years. In fact, if you looked at it over the whole field, we didn't see any difference if we just lowered seeding rate whole field. But if I could at least get them to look at that input change in low production zones, I have a way to increase their profitability or reduce the amount of money they lose in those areas. Sand blows on this farm, if you added all of these low production areas up across his entire field or entire farm, are somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 acres. So if we could trim $30, $50 an acre of inputs in those areas, that's a significant amount of money. We're starting to work with different layers, just mainly to give us some strength when we visit with them about how we've delineated these zones. And my interest is to start to get away from yield maps and start to look more at profit loss maps. I think I can relay a message better to a producer using those than I could with just a strict yield map. They see yield maps, they see a red area, instantly they think, what inputs can I do to make that like the rest of the field? And what we're seeing is, based on some of these soil types in our fields, we can't do anything to make those yield like the rest of the field. The farmer that participates in this has been good to, we basically call his farm our research section north. I would think it'd be fair to guess that this farm has as many test plots on his farm as we have on our experiment station. And anything that we've asked him to do, even things that he knows are likely to cost him yield, he's interested in allowing us to do it to help answer some of the questions that he has. So with that, I'll thank you for listening and be glad to try to answer any questions you might have.
We have time for some questions.
Yes.
So what kind of reception have you had at presenting this to the farmers in your area?
I haven't presented it yet. Okay. Today, this winter at our production meetings will be the baptism by fire. Okay. Yes.
Farmers don't live on yield, don't live on the efficiency, they live on profit. Why can't we reconcile the two opposed philosophy into profitability?
I'm not sure. Their main interest so far has been a uniform yield map color. They want to bring all of their fields up to the highest yield possible. And they've not given much thought at all to the cost it would take to get to that yield. I think if I could show them where they lose money, where they make money, I could maybe start to get them to address different ways to go about being more efficient.
If I'm allowed, I want to make a comment. That is, for precision agriculture, my personal opinion is that we first need to identify the most leading factor for the low yield before we take action. And then if, for example, increase in fertilizer or change the feeding rate, may not alleviate the problem, then of course, it may not be
I agree, and I think in these areas the limiting factor is water. These are all irrigated fields, but coarse sand, and it holds no water for a day.